Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for another day in which we get to come and to worship you. And ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to fall upon us, that we may hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your worship bulletin, there's a sheet. You can pull it out. It's got sermon notes on it or fill in the blank. And on the other side are some devotions that you can use throughout the rest of this week. If you're listening online, you can download a PDF file that has the sermon notes and the devotions on it. And I encourage you to follow along that way. Did you know that there are some significant meanings to this particular Sunday? Did you know? Today is the last Sunday of the Christian calendar year. Yay! Happy New Year's Eve! Yay! And in the life of this and many other churches, it is a day for the hanging of the greens. And I invite you to stick around for a few minutes to fellowship with one another, to hang up some greens as we get the church ready for the Advent season. Merry Christmas! Today is so significant. And in the Gregorian calendar by which we live, we've made the final turn to the last month of the year. Only 27 more shopping days left. And although Black Friday was 3 days ago, a relatively new phenomenon for finding great deals for Christmas, I don't think it's gonna last. No. I found out last Wednesday that I could go online and find great deals, early Black Friday deals, if I wanted to. Soon, we're gonna be shopping all sorts of different colors throughout the year for Christmas. But today is the final Sunday of the Christian calendar, and next Sunday we begin Advent. Advent, the waiting for the birth of Christ. Now, in the early church, many of the people believed that Jesus' second coming was imminent, that it was right around the corner. They might not even see death. They might rise and meet him in the air with the hosts to defeat evil and vanquish all Christ's foes. And while people waited, some industriously worked at being in God's will. They helped to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all the world, the disciples of the apostles, spreading the good news, helping others to know Jesus, and then help them to walk with Jesus. And many were willing to die instead of recant their faith in Jesus, and some did die for their faith. Because even though Jesus hadn't returned, they believed that he still would return. I'm amazed at their resilience, their determination in their work for Christ. How resilient they were. How utterly faithful they were to the word of Christ. I wonder how resilient we are today. How determined are we, or how determined are you to see others come to know Christ or to deepen their walk with Christ? Could we say we're really New Testament people with that vibe and fervor that they had back then? Now, the problem in waiting was that some of what Jesus taught, really, some of who Jesus really was, began to get a little bit skewed. You know, the story you heard your grandpa say, was told to your parent, you're now telling it to somebody else. It gets a little changed, doesn't it? And some were starting to change their perspective on who Jesus really was and began to proclaim the good news of Jesus, God's Son, in a slightly different way. The basis of their belief was this, that physical matter is bad. Physical matter is not good. And that spiritual things are great. Spiritual things are great. Therefore, God and Jesus being entirely good were what? Spiritual beings. Therefore, Jesus could not have had a physical body because he was good, because he was God. And of course, anything physical is bad. Therefore, Jesus had to be a spiritual being, not physical. And on top of that, the way to heaven was becoming based on a secret knowledge of Jesus as opposed to faith in and developing a relationship with Jesus. Something was happening. Now, John in his day was facing the same problems we face today, trying not only to live out our faith, but realizing there are people in our culture today, just like in John's day, with very different perspectives on who Jesus was. So John begins by reminding them some specific things about Jesus. Read it with me. Could you give me an assist there? Well, is it up there?
It's a miracle.
Read it with me. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Do you see what he's stating here? That Jesus was a physical being, took on flesh. You see within this proclamation by John words like seen, looked at, and touched, beginning his argument for a physical body, not evil, but good. And so as we, well, better than good, God in the flesh. And so as we approach the Advent season, we can approach it as yet another money-sucking, present-grabbing extravaganza. Try to say that. Or we can approach Advent as another opportunity to remember and celebrate together the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How God began a process to bring healing to a broken world and forgiveness to the brokenhearted and a relationship that is real and personal to the lost who are seeking to live in relationship with the one true living God. We come back once again to proclaim not just another life, but the life. The one and only life who saves. This is what the disciples combated. Not just a culture who wanted to downplay a physical savior, but the father of lies, the evil one who would rather we all simply live merry lives. Happy holidays! Have a nice winter break. A Christ without Christmas. Now John goes on to write, read it with me, the life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the what? The eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Again, he hammers it home, the life appeared, we've seen it. But he doesn't leave it there. He also begins in these two verses to talk about and testify about proclaiming, or talk about testifying and proclaiming what they saw, what they heard, what Jesus taught, what Jesus wanted them to do. And as he writes, he pens these words which we need to focus on this morning. Read it with me. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the word fellowship is used how many times here? Twice. It's used two times, and it will be used two more times in the following sentences, indicating the utter importance John is trying to get across to those who believe about the fellowship that we can have with one another and the fellowship that we can have with the Father and the Son. You see, what John faced then in Christian circles is the same stuff we face today. In this verse, we proclaim what we've seen and heard for the express purpose of being in fellowship with one another. We get it backwards oftentimes, and we want to have fellowship, but we never express what we believe. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia. And koinonia is the intimate fellowship that friends share. Like two friends who grew up together, or an intimate gathering of people who care for each other. You know, it's that coffee shop picture, or donut shop picture, of people getting together over a cup of their favorite warm drink or their favorite really piece of cake in the morning, laughing and catching up and sometimes holding each other up in difficult times. That's koinonia. John invites us as believers in Jesus to have that koinonia, that intimate fellowship with other Christians, to talk about our walks with Christ, to talk about how God spurs us on and how we should spur one another on to share God's love. And yes, to even talk about those times when we've, yes, failed. This is living transparent lives. This is letting our guards down and being real with one another. For none of us are perfect, right? No matter what we look like on the outside, we all fall short of God's glory. But let's not dwell on that. Because we have to note that John invites us to have a deep and intimate fellowship with each other as well as with God. People deep down desire to know and be known by others. Don't you want to know and be known by others? No. They might not like me, right? But really, we want to be known. And we want to know others. To know and be known by others who care. So they can share this journey we call life together. Have you ever watched a group of people, let's call them a team, it doesn't matter the sport, but a team that enjoys hanging out, playing hard for each other in order to win the prize? One of our favorite family movies is Remember the Titans. Who's seen that movie? Talk about it. If you haven't seen it, it's really good. It's about a team that really gels as they begin to know one another and develop trust in each other. And we want to gel with each other, and we want to gel with God. To develop those close-knit relationships with God, we need to adopt a Sherlockian Holmes lifestyle, which pursues the truth of who Jesus is. Because in pursuing Jesus, we learn about God. And we get to know who God is and what God wants for us. And as we do this, we need to share our findings with those we fellowship. Yes, with those other Christians. We can talk about Jesus together. This is supposed to be a safe environment. If our relationships are distant with other Christians and our God, if we have no true intimate fellowship with one another, if we're unwilling to share our spiritual triumphs and failures in the safety net of Christian fellowship, then two issues arise. Two issues. One, how can we stand against the onslaught of a cultural shift which is trying to remove the Christ out of Christmas? Well, Christian symbols from public places and downplay life after death as though, it can't happen. It's just nothing. The problem is we're living in a culture which is trying to remove Christ. That's one problem if we don't have that intimate fellowship together. The second one is, who's to say what I believe about Jesus? Who's to say what I believe about Jesus is right or wrong? If I'm unwilling to be a part of a collective whole, seeking Jesus together. You know what that's like. You see something together and, no, this is what happened. No, this is what I saw. And all of a sudden, even though you saw the same thing together, you've got two totally different stories. And the same thing happens with Jesus. If we don't come together, we will have different perspectives of who Jesus was, just like John did, dealing with people who thought Jesus was a spirit being and not physical. I remember hearing how Muhammad first encountered Christians some 600 years after Christ. What struck him was how these Christians loved one another instead of this strong, only the strong survive mentality. How they were bound together in Christian love, caring for one another. What struck him was their koinonia, intimate fellowship, their unity. That intimate fellowship that bonded each to the other and them to the one true living God. And yet in his pursuit of this God, his followers became quite splintered. Some factions are bent on not just talking down other factions, but killing them, which we saw this last week. What was it, 120? 305, I read an earlier report, were killed by militant Islamists. People who are supposed to be in koinonia together, right? And even others who will seek to kill anyone who don't believe like they do. It doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or whether you're Gentile or Greek or Jew. And though we could say something similar about Christianity, because we can really get at it, can't we? Those Lutherans. Baptists. Catholics? Really? Methodists, they're all over the place. And though we could say something similar about Christianity, I believe we tend to emphasize a particular facet of the diamond that makes up God. That different denominations emphasize a particular part. And that together as a whole body of believers, we see Jesus, we see God more clearly. What's so startling to me is that nothing has really changed in the 14 or so hundred years since John wrote this letter. People still desire to be in a fellowship with one another, especially around the pursuit of God. But society and technology are saying no. You don't have to get together anymore. We've got churches now that stream so that you can sit in the comfort of your living room chair and worship Jesus. And where's the koinonia in that? Right? There was a commercial where four young adults are in the same living room and they're all on their phones. And a voice from above says, hey, why not put your phones down and talk to each other? And they all look at the camera at the same time and say, nah, and go back to their phones. People are settling for a technological relationship instead of what's real. What's living? Friends, I believe that only within the Christian community where the most intimate fellowship can be found, I believe that the Christian community is the only intimate fellowship that can be found. John goes on to write this, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, read that last line. We lie and do not live out the truth. We must first turn to ourselves and ask the hard questions. Am I really fellowshipping with God or not? John states you cannot walk in darkness or maybe the untruths of Jesus and be in right fellowship with him. And I think the easy way to find out is by running down the Big Ten. You know the Big Ten. I'm not talking about football. Do you love God and worship God alone? Or do you not? Do you love your family in practical ways or not? Do you tell lies to cover over your oopses or not? Do I murder, or what Jesus would say, hate? Do I hate anyone, or am I quick to forgive? Do I lust after the flesh? Do I envy what is not mine, or have I learned to be content with what I have? Boy, I got on Amazon on Black Friday, and I started looking, and they had a lot of shiny toys. And I thought, I could use this. Scrolling down. Oh, this would be fun. Scrolling down. Can I learn to be content or not? Are you willing to be content or not? Are you willing to give away all your possessions, Jesus might say, for the glory of God, to help others? Jesus would say things like, deny yourself and follow me. To follow his example when he says, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. These are some pretty high ideals that Jesus lays at us. But he doesn't just lay them down at us. He wants us to embrace them, to deny yourself, to be content, to follow him, to serve others. And John checks us as he continues. He says this, read it with me. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I want you to read that again now, and instead of if we walk, if I, make it a personal. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship with others, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies me from all sin. If we walk in the light, not if we walk in perfection or perfect love, but if we truly follow after Jesus and seek to keep short accounts, you know, be quick to forgive and get rid of unloving attitudes, then we will have an intimate fellowship with each other and with God. Because we are at the end of the Christian year and are about to begin another year, I thought, you know, we need to challenge ourselves with a couple of things. And here are two that I've listed. One, what is the one thing you can do over the next 4 weeks? I'm only asking for 4 weeks' commitment. Between now and Christmas Eve, whether it is something you begin doing, like maybe develop one or more spiritual practices that you can incorporate into your life each day, like maybe reading the Bible, meditating on Scripture. Just read a passage of Scripture and just ask God to speak to you about it. Singing songs of worship in your life when you wake up in the morning, when you're walking through your day. What's a song that praises God that you can sing to yourself? Maybe you want to keep a journal of your prayers. Maybe you want to journal your prayers or develop a relationship with a few close friends whom you can give permission to keep you accountable in your walk with God. This will help you to be more intentional in your fellowship with God. And on the other hand, remember, people are dying for interpersonal contact with others, but do not know how to find it. They don't know how to get there or to touch base with another person, and so we need to extend ourselves a little bit harder. So as we begin this fresh, new Christian year, starting with the Christian season, invite someone to join you. Invite someone to join you in walking through the Christmas season with you. Go shopping together. Go to that coffee place together. It could be a family member or a work or a school friend Or do it as a family and schedule a couple of these things that you can do together. One of the things we did over Thanksgiving is we played cribbage. And we played Farkle. You know Farkle? A lot of fun just hanging out together without having to just sit in front of the tube. Did you know that Christmas, this Christmas season, is not the most joyful part of the year for many people? Families get together and they argue about the least important things. And instead of keeping an eternal perspective, we allow words to separate us from being people who love each other and having some just good fun together. Did you know that there are many broken people, there are lonely people facing yet another onslaught of more brokenness and more isolation during this Christmas season, wanting some type of fellowship, anything, if someone would just reach out to them, just to walk through the season with them, and just be you. Don't put on airs. Hey, I'm a Christian. Right? I'm reaching out to you. You see, true koinonia happens between you and God and you and other people who are seeking God together. And the second thing is find an accountability partner to help keep you intentional in this pursuit of God. Help find somebody in your life who will help keep you accountable, who can ask the questions. It's not easy. I remember when I first started out, this is 30 years ago, with another fella, and we would meet once every couple of weeks at a Big Boy to have breakfast, and we would keep each other accountable. And we were memorizing scripture together, and so we'd check, are you up to date on your scripture? And we'd have to say it together. And then we'd ask each other the hard questions. How's your walk with Christ? What's been going on? How are you drawing near to Christ? Or how are you maybe falling away? You know, we still talk together probably every month or two to check in. But whatever level that you want, at whatever level that will look like to do to you, do the first two and begin thinking on the third one for the beginning of this year. Do the reaching out, inviting someone to be with you or to incorporate a spiritual practice in your life. Do those two things and think about finding an accountability partner for the beginning of the year. Really, really pray about it. Not lightly. But ask God, who could be someone that I could walk with in my life that would help me be held accountable for believing in Jesus, to make sure that I'm regularly worshiping God? You know, it's not about coming and giving money, although I want you to do that, because that is being faithful to what God wants you to do. But it's about coming and worshiping God together, enjoying the fellowship, the koinonia, the intimate fellowship that God wants us to have, that God desires us to live in, and that God wants us to share with others. Amen? Let us pray. God, we are so grateful that you love us and that you have given us a way that we can follow you. And Lord, we ask that as we continue to follow you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. God, that you would cause us to be more open to what you want us to do in our life. Not more than just being open, Lord, but being willing to change old patterns and habits for maybe new patterns and habits that will help us to draw closer to you. And so, God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here this morning. Right now, Lord, fill us to overflowing with your love and your grace and a willingness to be people that are in fellowship with each other and with you. Lord, draw us near to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus' name. Let us stand together and sing.